Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRD in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, AEG, We Make Fun, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are here to help you sort through the cardboard commotion to help you find the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Board Game Show. I'm on the wrong show. Today we've got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Melissa Delp.
Kevin Delp.
Sidekick Larry.
And Amy Eggs.
In the house. Lily was trying to give the intro there. I loved it. That was perfect.
And Lily.
Yeah, Lily in the house. How old are you these days, Lily?
Baby Lily.
I'm like 8 months old.
And she's talking so well.
Wow, 8 months.
She is a cutie. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for joining us in the house. This is, we're recording this just a couple of days before Christmas. It's coming out afterwards. So, Merry Christmas to you all. Hopefully you had a fantastic time. Yeah, somebody's having a fantastic
Lily's
time.
Lily's ready for Christmas. She's ready.
You can listen to this as you head into New Year's. Maybe some of the games that we talk about on today's episode arrived under your Christmas tree, and you can play them on your way into the new year. We're going to talk about a couple different things on the show. One of those things being the games that we haven't had a chance yet to play. We'll get to that in just a little bit.
But we wish we played.
That's exactly right.
Because there's games that we haven't had to play that I don't wish I played. That's a different episode.
Yeah. That could be a good one, though.
Next week.
Tune in next week for the games we wish we hadn't played. But we did get to play some games just even this week. What are some of the fun things that you guys have had an opportunity to get to the table recently?
We've actually played The Game face-to-face.
Wait, The Game?
The Game.
The Game.
The Game.
The Game.
The worst title board game. You
card
can't,
game.
Card game because you can't find it.
So we played it twice, and the first time we played it, definitely played it wrong. You're
laying numbered cards.
Yeah, laying numbered cards. And you can play on your opponent's cards, and you're supposed to only put one card down on theirs.
Ah, yes.
And we played it that you could put any number of cards down. So the whole time, every time it was my turn, I was putting like all my cards out and drawing new cards, and I won.
And her stacks were like super high. Like her one side was all the way to 56, and her 60 side was all the way down to like 12. So
but,
she would have to only play on my side.
But it didn't matter because I had four spots I could play on.
So many options.
And then at the end of it, I won. And Larry was like, yeah, that's not how we're supposed to play.
And then I won.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Sarah and I have had a good time with that one as well. It is when you are only allowed to play one card on their side and you've got to determine, like, am I helping them out? I need to draw more cards. I got to help them out. Yeah, it's a nice little mechanic. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, I'm very okay with helping the other player when I can play my entire hand with the rest of them and get rid of cards so that I win.
And especially when you can help them by like one digit and you're like, ha!
Change it from 47 to 46.
You're welcome.
Do you guys remember the escape room in a box werewolf experiment?
Uh-huh. Yes.
That was from like 3 or 4 years ago.
Still, honestly, one of my favorites. Maybe not the favorite, but still in the top.
So the group that created that game has created other escape rooms in a box and has been picked up by Mattel.
Yes, I remember this.
Well, they've created two new ones called Time Drifters.
Ooh.
There's Isabelle's Story and there's Kira's Story. They're two different boxes, two different games. They're like a time machine. And what the theme is that they basically... the time machine breaks apart, and there are two different boxes that you can purchase right now, and you can play one.
Okay.
And you can then play the other one, and then you can put them
together?
And it's a third game.
What?
So we've actually played Isabelle's Story the other night with Charlie and Hannah, and it was a pretty good puzzly escape room in a box. It reminded me a little bit more... like the werewolf experiment, not as many physical things
that
going on.
See, that was one of the great things. The werewolf one did have a lot of actual like mechanical puzzles that were componentry, not just tear up some paper and stick it, fold it. You know, it had some cool stuff going on.
Yeah, well, there was definitely a plastic box that you had to put pegs in and then flip switches in the right order to unlock it. But the puzzles basically were giving you the answers for the order of the switches.
Okay, I'll accept. So you've played one.
Yes.
The other one is on the docket.
Yeah, we'll play it over Christmas and play the other one, and then...
How do you know, like, the rules to the third one? Is there a separate set of rules?
You're opening a box, and inside the box, there's part of the rules for the third one, but not all the rules.
This is clever. This is making you buy it. It's
right. You have to go buy the other side. So, yeah, I'd recommend Isabelle's Story. I haven't played it here as yet, but I'm assuming it'll be just as good. It's got another box that it seems like you're trying to do. But the puzzles were good. I felt like most of them made sense. We did... finagle one of them, I think, right?
So we did it and we were like, this isn't making sense. Let's look on the website. Oh,
the website was down.
Now it could be we're somewhat advanced, so it might still be getting put up. So I think if we had looked at the website and seen that we were on the right track, sometimes you just need some confirmation that what you're doing is right. But then we went and did something else, and like 10 minutes later...
Melissa comes running into the room.
It means this!
I figured it out! Yeah, it was kind of funny, actually.
And then we did it, and we're like, yes, that was the answer. It all made sense. Yep. It works.
That's cool. The light bulb moments are the best when you're doing escape
room. And the nice thing about these are they are resettable, so you can basically put it all back together and pass it on to your friends, and they can play it as well.
Cool.
So.
That is the best as well. Did you guys already talk about Bequest on a previous episode?
I mean, probably like 3 months ago.
3 months ago. We had a chance to play that tonight from WizKids, and it is a I-cut-you-choose game where you are a bunch of villains who are splitting up your most recently deceased hench lord?
One of your friends, basically.
The mastermind.
Yeah. The mastermind. He left you a big treasure, trying to split it up. Had a good time with that one. You've got, like, some...
Because you won.
You won by, like, double of all of our scores. Right.
Thank
you.
Cheated. Really pointing that out. Good time with that one. I think Larry was the... Who was she? Sarah.
How did I
Somebody.
Cheat with the lowest Sarah score?
How did you cheat with the lowest score?
Not very well.
I'm a terrible cheater, apparently.
I'll coach
on the
you.
First round, I had a takesy-backsies because I
that
didn't
three
know...
three turns later.
It was not three turns later. It was the first time playing, and we didn't actually explain what some of the cards do.
Yeah, that's all right.
There are different ways of getting treasure. Yeah. There's gadgets, and there's schemes, and there's
probably
money and
you.
Bunkers. And basically, you're collecting those and trying to get the most of the different kinds of cards to give you the most points, basically money in the game. And Melissa was very kind and let Sarah take... I think if that didn't happen, Melissa probably would have won the game.
What, was that the card?
Oh, totally.
See,
very kind
you,
of me. Thank you.
It was very good.
It was because
it
she would have gotten two
won.
More treasures, ooh. Which would have given her two less of the magnifying glasses, which are negative points.
And it would have been like 8 and 7 more points or something.
She would have gotten like 18 more points.
It probably would have been like a 40 point swing or something.
It would have been amazing because she had negative 12 points.
Oh, she did. That's true.
And then there would have gone to 0. Plus, she would have gotten 7 more treasure or more. No, probably gotten 13 more treasure.
Okay, so maybe it was like 25 to 30 points swing.
Still,
it's a big swing.
It was pretty close to what your score would have been.
You
it was.
That's like more than Larry's total score.
Larry's still counting the math over there.
But I do. I think the gameplay...
Enjoy those Cheerios over there.
Yeah.
For Lily. I think the gameplay is really interesting. I don't like the name of the game. I don't think it evokes what you're trying to do or something. I don't know. And the box cover is not that good either.
It could be better. It was the gameplay was great. I agree. The name is a little weird, but who knows? I don't have a better option yet. I'll think of it. Melissa will have like a light bulb moment and be like, I know what it should have been.
Oh, and it's way too late at that point.
So it does play up to 6 players, and it's pretty quick, so it's nice for larger groups.
But we think we played like 30 minute game?
Yeah, it was pretty fast.
And we had to teach
people.
You, too.
Right.
So, yeah, pretty quick. So... Oh, I know. I do have to say. So one of Melissa's favorite games out there is a game called Clank by Renegade Games. It's not one of my favorite games.
Ooh, I like Clank.
Well, there's Clank in Space as well. Have you guys played Clank in Space? It's very similar to Clank, but
it has awesome sci-fi puns.
In space.
Oh, gotcha. I was wondering.
We haven't been to space yet.
Yeah.
I mean, some people have.
One of the main reasons I don't like Clank or Clank in Space or any of them is because I feel like all I want to do is my turn. I don't really care what everyone else is doing. All I want to do is go into the dungeon, get my stuff, and come back out. Where in a four-player game, sometimes people are taking a long time just to go in and figure out what they're doing, blah, 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 which way do I want to go.
Who are these people?
Right.
It would never be me.
Right. But we played a two-player game of one of the expansions, one of the new expansions called Pulse Arcade, which is like an arcade theme. And I will say I was much more enjoyable with two players because you still get the same experience because pretty much you're just going in and doing your thing and coming back out. I was like, oh, like all I have to wait is for one person.
Right.
So it worked out a lot better. I will highly recommend Clank in Space for a two-player.
No, it's the same deal as in the normal Clank when you, like, if you don't get out in time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So one player, is always one player getting left in space? And...
No, because you can also escape very quickly.
You just have to be able to make it,
make it out at the right time because it's based on the number of cubes.
Unless you're too far in the dungeon.
If you're way too far in there. But the Pulse Arcade was pretty interesting. And then I was like, oh, let me play the other expansion called Apocalypse. And we played that as well.
Yeah, so Kevin actually played twice with me this past week.
And I won both times. What is happening?
That's why he played twice.
One of them, I think it was like 1 point difference.
It was really close.
Melissa's already in vacation mode, so.
I actually do better with more players because then there's more chaos and people can pit against each other and then I can kind of sneak in and do my own thing.
Hang out under the radar.
Yeah. But anyway, Pulse Arcade is the new expansion and it does have that retro arcade feel to it. It has new boards, so six different new modules that you can mix and match in.
I think the arcade feel is in the goal cards that you get, the tokens that you're getting throughout the game.
So there's these little cardboard tokens that are shaped like arcade machines. Then they have like puns because the whole game is full of puns.
Right.
So it's like ping instead of pong and
yeah, things like that. But I think the
Z-Bert.
Basically, it's like Q-Bert, if you get six damage first, or if you get six damage, then you get that arcade. So you're basically trying to collect these, then you're spending those tokens to get the artifact in the game, which is kind of interesting, a different way of getting the artifact.
It's giving you mini goals, basically, to achieve during the game.
That's kind of fun. So, yeah. And I will say, Melissa included Pulse Arcade in our top expansions video that's on our channel right now as we speak. So go check it out, top 10 expansions of 2021.
We've got a bunch of top 10 videos out right now, which are all... A ton of fun to watch. I have to give the ladies props. They put their top 10 games of 2021, ladies edition, on the YouTubes last week, I guess, by the time you're watching this. And they had a pretty interesting format that they used to put the show together. And it was fun. It was super fun to be in person watching, first off. They, I could tell, were having a blast doing it, which was hilarious. And then I think it comes through pretty well in the actual video, too, on YouTube.
I see maybe some Saturday morning board game show lives.
Yeah.
Of we have using to do something this later. Format like of just that. Other fun, doesn't have to be top 10, whatever, but some type of format for that would be fun to watch live.
Anything that involves chaos.
Because there were so many outtakes we didn't even include, though there was 10 minutes of outtakes.
Right. So Melissa, explain to us what the format was.
So basically we did almost like a Price is Right sort of game where... Each lady had her top 10 list and took games 10 through 2 and set them out on the table. And then we had Kalex shelves, which were empty. And the other three ladies had to look at that stack of 9 games and put them in order from 10 to 2, how we thought each other had listed those games. And we had 20 seconds to do it. And that was kind of crazy and didn't really give us any time to think. So we were just throwing games on those shelves and then going... Oops. And we actually weren't very good at it.
I know, you're really good with Katie's. And then from there, it just went down from there.
Katie's was, I don't know why Katie's was easier to rank.
It worked really well.
Yeah.
Like you got but four.
Melissa's indecisive. I'm indecisive. Yeah. So that made our list difficult to guess because... Yeah.
I'm more of a, I like this and I don't like this, and less of a rank my favorites. So it's like anything that's on that shelf, I really, really like. The difference between like 10 and 5 isn't all that.
Hey, Lily.
Who knows how I feel today versus tomorrow. Yeah, I was a little nervous when we brainstormed the idea. She's like, I want in on this show. What is it? Yeah. I know my top 10. I was a little nervous when we brainstormed the show concept because I thought they're not going to get any right. It's just hard. Even if you get like the first two, you're not going to get eight right. And right. then my other theory was these, like, we all play together. So we kind of know each other's preferences. We probably know the order that they're going to be in. And I still think we're going to get them wrong. There's no way the audience is going to get them right. However, I've heard people, like, I've seen the comments, and some people are like, yeah, I played along. I got three or four right. Like, that's better than they did in person. So that's pretty good.
I will say the creativity that you guys, like, brainstormed to do this, it was a very long process to get to where it was. And I'm so happy, like, the end product was as good as you guys were thinking, because I was like, I don't know what it's going to do. But it was much better than the initial brainstorming. So
yeah, and I agree with Sarah, actually. I think it would be as or more fun to watch live. Like, we should just do it on a show sometime, because watching them, like, I'm holding a camera trying not to laugh out loud as Chantel's talking trash and people are tripping over each other, and Melissa or Katie's face is like, they don't know me at all. Like, what is going on? Like, it was a great thing to be behind the scenes on, and a lot of fun to record.
It was a pretty good video. I watched it. I can tell you, I was yelling at you guys and like, come on, you know that's not Sarah's favorite. It's got to be over there.
The problem is there was three people competing with each other. Like, this has to be over here. How's it going? Oh, there can't be over. No.
It's true. And then seconds. I was wrong anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah, and then we got to like try the second time with 10 seconds, and that was more of like, I don't even remember where this was.
Just move them around as fast as you can.
Just move them. Oh, here's an empty shell.
It can't be in this spot. It has to be in a different spot. Yeah. All right, so Larry, on the spot, if you had to rank them, did you watch the last year's Guys and Girls videos?
Yes.
Did you watch, and you watched both this year?
Don't you remember he did a reaction video?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
Come on.
Come on, Will.
I totally forgot about that. That's super funny. Of the four, let's rank them.
Of the four?
Right.
No, the five. The reaction video has got to be number one.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Good job, Kev. That's a given. I think I like the girls this year, the girls one idea better.
So ladies, this year, number one.
Yes.
Guys last year.
Yeah, okay.
Two.
See, the pitch meeting.
There was a lot of fun stuff
last year. The pitch meeting was pretty fun, and then, a lot of comments on that.
Yeah, that one was really good. And then, I guess, this year, guys.
And then the girls last year. No, the bottom.
That seems pretty fair.
We did cut about 15 to 20 minutes off the length of ours this time.
We did. Good job, you guys.
That was still a 40-minute video.
Probably could have cut 15
if you
more minutes.
If you only watched till the end before I like rolled the credits and then included the outtakes and the honorable mentions. I think it was like 35 minutes. It was pretty great, you guys.
It's kind of funny.
But the outtakes were the most hilarious part.
They were good stuff.
They're pretty funny. It's kind of funny. It's like, oh, you only get 20 seconds and 10 seconds. You're like, oh, that's only like 30 seconds to 40 seconds per person.
Right,
you
think
it's
going
to be
a short video.
Like a 5-minute video. I don't know how it goes to 35 minutes.
Right. 10 lists or four people times 30 seconds should have been a pretty short video.
I will say a lot of people did comment that they are so happy that you waited for number one till the end, and you guys sort of did a round table discussion on your number ones. And the way you guys did it was kind of fun too.
It was.
It just still gets me, the hilarious Hadrian's Wall thing.
Oh, spoilers.
There was lots of other outtake stuff, too, that I didn't include on that was equally funny as well. Yeah, spoilers on that one, but you got to watch the outtakes on it because it explains it, and it is super fun.
That's cool.
Kevin, tell us about a couple of the other, because I know we got, like, I don't even know, 10 other top 10 videos out right now. What are some of the other ones that people could check out?
Well, Melissa and I did a top 10 Kickstarters that we enjoyed from this past year. I think Will and Sarah are also thinking about.
Yep, we will be making one.
And that'll come out probably beginning of January.
Yeah.
A little late, but not too late.
Well, we still have some games. I think we're done with this year's.
Yeah.
But
you got stuff for next year. You can't include next year's Kickstarter.
We can't
Sarah.
Include next year's, but yes. We did do some late November stuff and it's now we're busy with Christmas orders. Yeah. So.
And then we have the top 10 Kickstarter or top 10 stocking stuffers. That was fun to put together. Melissa and I did a top 10 expansions, which we talked about a little earlier. And then I know I put together a highest funded board games on crowdfunding. That'll be going out soon as well.
So and cool. Then, of course, it ties in with our topic tonight on the podcast. We have
Kevin and I did a top 10 games we wish we had played during 2021.
Which, why don't we just move into that?
Let's do it. There's no audio cue. Is there? Oh, there it is. The audio cue for the next segment. Here we go.
That's pretty cool.
All right, so one of the things that I very much enjoyed as I was editing both of the ladies and the guys' top 10 video was seeing the games that I didn't get a chance to play this year and looking at the B-roll and listening to the descriptions and thinking, man, this sounds like a great game. It's in your top whatever five for the year. I definitely wish I'd gotten this to the table. One of the ones that looked just the most, I think, visually beautiful that I was thinking, I wish I'd played this, was the Islands in the Mist game.
Ah.
The cover is super great.
Isn't it?
The hot air balloon meeples are cool. I mean, it just looks like a beautiful game. You guys, was it on both your lists? It was definitely on Kevin's.
It did not. It was a contender for my list, but okay. It didn't quite make it in. I think Larry might have actually played
Larry
it
Larry did
with
play
us.
Islands in the Mist. Did you remember the little hot air balloon that moved with the wind and you were putting terrain tiles down?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Wasn't that an amazing game, Larry?
It was.
Tell
great.
Me how much I missed out on. What was the...
You missed out on all the things, especially when you... get somebody stuck in a corner and then you turn the wind so they're just blowing in the corner back and forth. That was pretty hilarious.
Is that a powerful strategy? Is that a you got unlucky?
It's luck of the roll, really.
Okay. Yeah.
Although, depending on who's rolling the die, they can try to purposefully hurt you and send you into the edge of the map.
So the interesting thing about Islands in the Mist, and I think Melissa and I were debating on even putting it on the list, is because it was released... like maybe like 2 years
ago. I had plenty
ago,
of time to play this game.
But it wasn't Stronghold Games brought it over to the States. So none of us had actually seen it. And it came into the mail. We played it on our 24-hour game-a-thon and had a great time playing. I was like, should we even include this? Like, yeah, because no one's been able to really play this. So I was like, it was a fun game. So, yeah.
That definitely caught my eye. What are some of the ones that caught you guys' eyes?
So we all kind of have some jokes here behind the scenes of Kevin's never played War Chest. Yeah. And
Or really
Cubitos, or there's just a few like that. Well, mine happens to be Terraforming Mars.
Never played Terraforming Mars.
I'm sure I would love it.
You know, you have Terraforming Mars Ares Expedition in your living room.
Yes, I know this. It's sitting in my home.
That is actually a doable.
Exactly. I would be completely fine playing the regular Terraforming Mars.
That's probably a 3-hour commitment, whereas this one's like an hour and a half.
I could do the 3-hour commitment. I just never got it to the table.
Right.
I have the other version that came out this year at my house. Still haven't gotten it to
the
table.
There it is.
Some of the, Kevin and I did a whole video.
Well, just do your favorite. Right. Just do your favorite.
I'll do one for now.
4 or 5.
Okay, so
do your honorable
rolling
mentions.
Rights, flipping rights, and all of that, and Super Mega Lucky Box was one that I haven't played yet. It's by Phil Walker Harding, the same guy who did Silver and Gold, which is one of my favorites. We play it with my family all the time. So I'm kind of sad that I haven't gotten a chance to play Super Mega Lucky Box. I will say that the name and the box cover kind of turns me off. It's like not something that I would gravitate to on the shelf and go, oh, I should play this game.
The funny thing is, it's actually a pretty accurate representation of the game, but it is a really good game.
Yeah, have you all played it?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
I got to Origins.
Play it. Yeah, at Origins. And it's the art, I agree. It looks like Schoolhouse Rock or something.
Yeah.
Yes. On a good day. Like, that's what it looks like. It is very stupid, simple mechanics. Like, you're playing bingo, basically. Yes. But you have, three cards that you're doing it on.
At the same time. And so just trying to pick which cards you place things on. And then if you don't use the numbers in the best way possible, then you end up wasting numbers, which I know. And then you can combo stuff. It was very good, even though it was very, very simple. Mm. There was still plenty of things. I don't know how designers come up with stuff that's so simple but still so thinky.
Yeah, it was in the same Rolling Realms is not a simple game, but it is simple. Like, you've got one card you're trying to do stuff on,
and it's just two dice,
right? Yeah. And so it's a very similar feel to that, where you've only got maybe 9 numbers on a card. I feel like it was only 9 numbers. It's been a while since
no,
I played it.
It's like four by
I thought it was 3x3. It might be 4x4. There's not very many, but there is a lot of that, like, I finished this row, I unlocked this thing, I can do this thing over here, I finished it on this card, I comboed four cards together, so really satisfying, great little game. Goofy looking.
Yeah, but the box cover and the name of it just throws me off.
It's a little bit weird, but it was fun. It was a good time.
All right, I'm going to have to try it in 2022.
Yep. Meadow was one of my games I wish I had played.
Another one that should be just on our shelf for the name alone.
All right. I feel dumb for not hunting it down.
Why did you not get this game?
Right, exactly. It has my name on it.
That
I didn't play.
That is hilarious. I didn't even think about that.
Every time I saw it, I was like, I should probably just go buy it right now. But no, never got it on our table either.
We had people recommend it. They said, I really enjoyed playing this. But the art looks really cool. Like the animal, like I think they did a really good job.
Yeah,
and
it
then
looks sharp.
They said it's a really fun set collection game. So
yeah, I feel like I didn't hear enough about what it was about to lure me in, and I was like, I can't go like it just because it has my name on it.
But you can.
Yes, you
now
can.
I can.
Yeah. Yes, you can. I knew it was my kind of game, and I still didn't go buy it.
Yeah.
If there was a game called Delp, would you just go buy it right now?
Why not?
I don't know if I've played a game
about games that don't have very great names.
Thanks.
As a game name, that would be a very weird game name.
But imagine if people are like, that's an amazing game.
Could be an amazing game. Weird name.
Weird, yeah, I agree.
Right now. One of the other games that you guys spoke very highly of, this was on both of you guys' list, was Praga. Tell us a little bit more about that, because that one missed my radar entirely.
So it's definitely heavier, on the heavier side.
Okay.
Have you played like any like delicious games like Underwater Cities or what's another one of their?
It's by one of the designers, is the same designer who did Pulsar 2849, okay. Underwater Cities, Last Will, Prodigal's Club.
Yeah. Okay, yep.
Though those are a little easier. The Praga, there's a lot going on in the
more
game.
Than Batuco, but what's that one called?
I put it close.
Yeah, okay.
I put it close. There's just a lot of like comboing that can start happening with Praga.
It's a bit of a point salad. You can get points lots of different ways. There's this wheel with action tiles on it. So basically,
that
on
each
your
player
turn,
has their own action wheel.
No. There's one action wheel in the. I'm talking about the big wheel.
Oh,
on
the big
board.
Wheel. Sorry.
You pick a tile
like
from
hex
it.
Things in it or
yes.
whatever.
Mm-hmm. And the tile you pick shows two options, and you pick one of those options to activate the action. And then there's like six different things or more. But basically, on your turn, you're just choosing one tile to take that action. But there's lots of ramifications. Are you upgrading your production? Are you building a building? Are you upgrading your action so when you take that action again, it's better? Are you going up the road? Are you
going up different tracks?
Are you
castles?
Building the walls? So there's lots of things you can do, and you do have to make the actions in the right order so you get the resources you need. So when you do the action, you do it as well as
so
you
not
can.
Really programming, but just like time.
It's timing.
Timing.
It's timing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. So you talked about building the wall. Did you ever play Hadrian's Wall, Melissa?
Yeah.
I did. Okay, I did the one time. I know I thought about putting it on my top 10 list. I think if I had played it at least one more time, it would have ended up on my top 10
list.
It was
her top 11.
I haven't played that one. That was one of the ones I wish I played.
Ooh, I almost pulled it out tonight, actually.
Oh, man.
So close.
Larry, what else do you have in your list there?
Oh, so many games. Hadrian Wall was definitely on there. I played some of the other Renegade games in the series, and I like those. So.
Oh, cool.
What else did I have on here? Amy's coming back. I didn't play Kubitos either, Kevin. So
I'd love to play Kubitos sometime.
Yeah, we'll get it to the table.
I mean, it's rolling. A quick one. If we wrap up right now.
What else did I... Amy, what did you have?
Okay, so I'm not going to go through my whole list because...
Because she's holding Lily.
Lily may lose it. But I had this really funny idea. And I was like, so I haven't been here in so long. So I was like, I'm going to make this list of like super old games. And it's going to be like, oh man, I really wish I would be able to play like Monopoly this year. I haven't been able to play that one yet. And like all these really old games. But that was my idea. And it was funny.
Oh, my other
it's
game
been
was
so
Role,
since I got
Role
Monopoly
Player
to your
Adventure.
Table.
Role Player Adventures.
Yeah, the Adventure. That's the one that came
have
out
you played
this year,
the right? prototype?
No, I haven't yet.
Have you played Role Player? The dice
I
character creation game, yeah.
Or maybe it was just Sanctum.
Yeah, they're very different games, but they are in the same universe, and they work together magically well. Obviously, they're designed to. So, yeah, the Role Player Adventures is fun. You would enjoy it for sure.
Yeah, it looks like it would be pretty fun. I kind of like that kind of journey type game where you have different, I guess, acts or different missions.
Right. Yeah, we have played several of the stories in the prototype version. I don't know that we've seen. I don't think I've even seen the actual finished version. Is it out and available? Like people are playing that one?
It has been delivered to backers, I believe. I'm not sure if it's available in retail yet.
You can't get it in retail. Yep.
And we have played the first adventure in the retail game.
Oh, cool.
And might be going through the campaign
with Richard and...
Oh, Dave. Awesome.
Yep.
Awesome. How different are the components from the prototype? Because obviously, like, you had the boards where
the boards
like,
are a lot better,
in.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. Are there additional pieces? Is it a map? What's the, like, what's the board?
I'm trying to think.
Is it a book?
Is that a book? I'm trying to remember.
That was just like a board.
It was like cardboard.
Yeah,
in the prototype.
It's going to be different each because we're going to a new map next game.
I don't remember, but your player board is like triple layered.
Yeah, and
so you can slide in a piece of paper.
Cool.
And then you can write on that, which is kind of fun with any of the cubes. So that's good.
A lot of books for the different...
Yeah, lots of different books for the different scenarios.
Stories, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, and even there's a book for your encounters, and then there's a book for the things that you're reading. Mm-hmm. The map might be a book. I can't remember.
Sorry.
I'm pretty sure I saw a bunch of these at Boardwalk today. I was over there.
Oh, very possible.
So you might be able to pick it up at Boardwalk, your local game store.
Your friendly local game store.
Yeah.
One of the other games that was not on my list... that I wasn't interested in, had no desire to play at all, and then you both had it on your list again, was Farm Shop.
Oh, My Farm Shop?
My Farm Shop.
Oh, Will, is it still here, or did we take it home?
I believe it was yesterday. I saw it just recently, and I thought, do I pull this out? I bet I could learn this one. You guys both seemed very excited about it.
This one.
I have realistic expectations on
you could probably learn this one, Will.
My attention span for instruction manual reading. It looked... goofy and fun and bright, and
it looked so weird.
It looks like an early 2000s video game on Facebook.
Yeah, like
Facebook wasn't around that long. It was like the farming game.
It looks like Farmville.
Yeah,
I will say, turn me off.
It's one of my biggest surprises for the year.
Yeah, I looked at it. I'm like, I'm not going to play it. And then I was like, oh, we probably should play it so we can talk about it on our, you know, on our channel. I was like, huh, this is kind of fun. Like.
Did you say that out loud? I think he did because that was like what the top 10 list sounded like too. Like it sounded like a sleeper surprise
hit. Have you played Space
Base? Once, yeah.
Okay.
And I did enjoy it. I need to play it again. I don't know who owns it. I don't even
know. You got it? Space Base.
Got to get it back from you guys sometimes.
And I think Katie owns it
too. Two? Everybody owns it with me.
Yeah, I think Ryan and Katie have it.
One of the things I like about Space Base and other games like that is the simultaneous play where we're not even simultaneous play, but everyone's taking actions sort of at the same time or benefiting from things that are happening from the main player.
Yeah, so even on my turn,
stuff the whole time,
everyone gets to do something, even though
really
it's
like
my
that.
Turn.
So.
Yeah. Oh, and one note I was going to give you on Cubitos is... it's that way. Like, I think you might have the impression that it's a real-time, race
really
game.
Frantic when you guys are playing.
No, it's just you're rolling your own dice.
Right. It is, like, turn-based, but everybody takes their turn at the same time. So it's not like you actually have to be faster than everybody else.
I was kind of concerned. I'm like, you guys are... like,
we're just so excited to roll our dice.
I'm like... can we see it played? I'm like, I don't know. It seems a little frantic to me. But
you are trying to, like...
it's press your luck. So you're like, I get... Okay, one more roll. Okay. Oh, no, I just bust.
Right, and then you're like encouraging other people to bust too because you want, like, you messed up, so now you want them too. So you're like, Jonah, you should definitely roll again.
One
come
more
on,
time.
Do it.
Okay,
yeah.
Maybe that should be like the advanced version,
time based.
Real time.
Oh, boy. Just keep going as fast as you can. And that would be chaos.
Cool.
So one more game on my list was Overboss.
You never played Overboss?
No.
Oh, but you would like that one.
So
I know I would like it.
You were a big fan of Cascadia and Verdant and stuff like that. Same designers.
I was always the cameraman on all the times we played it live.
Oh, Sarah, that's totally your game.
I know.
It's totally your
game.
I
almost put it in my top 10. It was another one that almost made it in.
And it was Katie's number. Oh, spoilers.
What? Number what?
Yeah. You would definitely like it, Sarah.
Yeah.
I know.
You played it as well?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's funny.
One that originally I didn't think I would be interested in, but the more I've seen about it, the more interested I am, is Gollum. It has that like really dark box with kind of the face on it.
Like a skeleton face. It's really weird.
But it looks like a really, it's much more colorful out on the table.
I wish the box cover was better, I'll tell you that.
But it sounds interesting. I think you are making golems, the kind of the clay the earth automatons. Creatures.
Okay.
It has a marble tray, so you're doing something with marbles, mm-hmm. something with meeples. So it just looks interesting. I'd like to get a chance
Will,
to
have
try
you played
one.
The crew yet?
No, still have not.
Guess where it is.
It's on my list of things to just. I know. I intentionally pulled it out of the bag last time.
No, I put it there.
No, did you?
Yes.
I saw that it was here, and I thought maybe over Christmas I'll get to it.
I also put Bequest on yourself, too.
Thank you. I think Sarah has played the crew, right?
Oh, yes, many times.
So we haven't really, over Christmas and Thanksgiving, we enjoy playing like a heavier game with Liam and kind of introducing him to some new, bigger.
The crew is not heavy.
And he usually beats us. Which is interesting because it's games we've played
right.
his first time, and it's a heavy game, and he beats us.
He's got your luck, Sarah.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yes, he does.
And so we had already talked about, like, what game are we going to put on the table? What, you know, 2-hour-long thing are we going to dedicate? My thought, though, the other day was, I don't think Liam has ever really played, like, a trick-taking game. We've never played, like, Hearts or Euchre because we've got so many board games to play.
You
and I was
go
like,
through
maybe
all
we need
50
to,
missions.
Yeah, I was like,
crew.
Maybe we need to back it up and just play a simple card game and just
I'll
try
tell
to
you,
get
the
on
crew,
that.
Like, the first, I mean, it's a fun, but then you're like, oh, once you pass, like, mission 20 and you're, like, into these really interesting ways of doing the trick-taking, I totally recommend don't give up on after, like, your first 10 missions. Like, definitely go further and farther beyond.
That's good to know. We definitely have stopped in the 5 to 10
like,
range.
What is happening? It's like when the player must win a trick with the pink one or something like that. It's like, how is that even possible? So, I mean, it's possible because we've done it, but I'm just saying, in your mind, you're like...
You have to kind of do mental gymnastics
get all the
to
other
figure
cards out
of
your
how
hand,
to do it.
Plus none of the...
Right.
I think our problem is we've ended up playing them with so many different people. So we just
start
from the beginning for like 5 times. So we have like 5 different things going all the way up to like 10. And
here's the thing. I was Murano, the light masters behind you, Will, was on my list of I would like it looked really like the here we go. Like, it looked like beautiful. The cover looks cool. I like the theme, the light glass theme. And then you said it's a simple like game.
It's,
like,
it's fine.
Right. And that's what Will says. I'm like, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. That's the thing. It's like these games have amazing games, but the art's not that amazing or the cover. Then you have something that looks like that. I'm like,
right.
Why can't the game be good too?
Yes.
And the game was completely fine.
I'm sure it was fine.
It was well done.
Like,
it was
okay.
Just.
I don't want to play an okay game.
It's.
I think they actually did okay. Like they. The target for it maybe is like casual gamers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if this was on a target shelf.
So.
I think, you know, like our parents, I think, would love it. Like it's got nice mechanics. It does look clean. It's easy to understand.
It's got very, very nice components.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's just not like, you know, if you play it once or twice, I think you've figured out the strategy and it didn't feel like it was a whole lot deeper. Maybe there'll be some expansions or something that'll make it pull you in even more. But
cool.
Very solid, but just not like, I got to come back for more.
Yep. Random question, but why is Dune Imperium still in the shrink wrap?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
What? That game is awesome.
He has played it.
Yeah, yeah.
He just played somebody else's copy.
I actually volunteered to play it with other people, and they were like, it's still in shrink wrap. We don't want to play it. And I was like, well, I'm never going to get it out then.
It's kind of funny that people have called you out on Dune Imperium being a 2020 game.
Sure. It bounces right off my back.
Didn't they call you out for it being not a 2020 game?
It feels like cutting edge Cubitos the year before it comes out.
Right.
And then Dune Imperium, it's
a year behind.
The expansion has come out for Dune Imperium.
Ooh, I saw somebody playing it. I want to get it.
Cool. You can play it with Will.
Yeah. Bring it over. Grab it. You bring the expansion, I'll bring the game. It'll be great. Get the deluxe components too because they're real nice. Yeah, I enjoyed that one a lot. I played it in 2021. We got to figure out what the clarifications are on these rules.
Yeah, because Praga, I think also technically it was probably a 2020. Well, I don't know when it came to the States.
You guys got those international games that are in the gray area.
There's a couple that you guys brought from Essen.
We did.
That people are like, Botoku? Is that even available?
Yeah, there's a couple that were either in our top tens or wish we had played, and people are like, oh, that's actually a 2022 game. Like, or the U.S. release is going to be 2022.
So it's all...
We're breaking all the rules.
It's fine.
We apologize in advance.
We'll put it on next year, too.
I was expecting Will to put Cubitos on his 2021.
It was a struggle not to, honestly.
Just have one every year.
Exactly. You should totally, like, and my 2020
pick is I mean, Cubitos is still in the top for sure. So
that's the question. Are you working on your top 10 of all time, Will?
I am. It's
hilarious because we tell Will to do this every year and it turns out to be, I'm just gonna make this my top 10 party games, which
every year
two
or three times, right? You know that?
I do know that.
Okay.
I also just went and checked, and they're like still some of our most regularly viewed videos. I feel like I'm doing great.
Not the party one, the newest one where you talk about your top 10 party games. The newest one is actually our third most watched video.
Yeah,
of all time.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that yesterday because I think your top 10 of all time is
the
number
highest
one,
right?
And I was looking at like the curve. I hardly ever look at the analytics on our videos because it's like once I've made it and it's out there, I'm just like, and
you're
I'm
already
on to the next,
on the next
and Melissa and I are always looking at the analytics,
right?
Okay,
good job.
So I have a whole like
spreadsheet.
Google
do
doc
you
that I'm gonna share with you at the
Ooh.
End of the year.
Okay.
And it has all the like how many subscribers, how many likes, how much money,
how many
so
ads,
did you see that?
how many ads were in each video.
I have no understanding of how Google and YouTube works because your video has way more views on it. I think mine has gained more subscribers than yours has. And my arch is like, it's just continuing to go up, and yours is like zigzagged all over the place.
Weird.
Yeah.
Did you look at the year, like the lifetime?
I think so. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it probably has to do with the titling on it. Like, I think people probably search for party games more than they search for Kevin's top 10 list or whatever. Yeah. So I don't know if I'll surpass you. I doubt it. You've got a huge head start on me, but it was interesting. I've actually been thinking about this top 10 list for far too long. I put way too much mental energy into this.
Oh, good. Because and you know what you're going to title it and what your thumbnail's going to look like?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be like, The Secret Mystery Uncovered. Clickbait all the way. No, but I actually was thinking about, I don't know if this will bore people, give me your feedback, audience. I would love to know. I thought about including like personality type information in the video. Like, here's my, I don't even know what the things are called, so I can't do it.
Enneagram and his Myers-Briggs and all
Strength
of
finders.
Those.
Yeah,
my
profile player. Oh, it will be interesting. There'll be like me interviewing myself or something. I don't know.
I'll be
on the couch.
Pitch meeting about himself at a pitch meeting.
Right, exactly.
That would be kind of funny.
And then I'm hoping that people will be like, oh, well, I match up with your personality, so of course I'll love these games. Or they'll be like, I am nothing like your personality, I love these games. Or I am your personality and I hate all these games. I don't know. I think there's potential for that to be interesting.
I think if you make something humorous in there, it would be kind of funny, you interviewing yourself or something.
We'll do something cool. I don't know what it'll be, but I've got ideas. I just got to get the list together.
The pressure is on.
Right.
This has been hyped for years.
Because now I feel responsible. Like if all INFTJs, I just made that up, I don't know what that means.
That's not what you are. That is the opposite of what you are.
That's pretty close to what I am.
If all Melissa's.
Yeah, you're not an introvert.
Like I feel like I need, no, I know. I'm an E, I don't know what I am. I feel like I'm responsible, though. Like, I have to actually have a really good representation of games, because otherwise people will be like, your personality has nothing to do with the games that you like. So now there's, like, extra weight to put Don't Mess with Cthulhu as the number one game. I don't know what's going to happen.
So if I ever do mine again, does it need to be, like, Melissa Hates Social Fun or something like that?
That's the title?
Yeah, I think, like, get a title that is, like, people are like, oh, what, you know, what is that, or why did Will choose that, or something that, like, entices them to like learn more about
I don't see them nearly as often as I used to, but the personality tests and things, I feel like that was maybe I'm behind the curve, but 2 years ago, like, everybody was testing themselves every day.
Yep.
And I feel like if I saw my personality type and I knew what it was, like, in the thumbnail, then I'd be like, oh, I am an INTJ 3 level 19 procrastinator or whatever.
I don't know what you just said, but you definitely are making up words.
That's normal, though.
Right. Which personality type is that?
So is there any board games that are not, that you know Ryan has or Jonah has or I have at our house that you're like, oh, that probably would be in my top, you know, running? Then you have to let us know so that, you know, you can just look at it one more time.
bring it in and make
his
it happen.
Games are usually experiences. That's true. And there has to be an element of discussion afterwards where you rehash how much fun you had or what you thought somebody else was going to do. Mm. That's how Will ranks games. It has to have that at the end.
Those are important elements. One game that you do have that I am interested in trying for that very reason is the new Chronicles of Crime 19 or whatever, whatever the new one is.
So there's 1400, 1900, and 2400.
Maybe all those, because I don't think I've played any of them. I played the original Chronicles of Crime.
Oh, okay.
And enjoyed it.
It keeps getting better.
Yeah.
I would recommend 1900 a lot. We have not played 2400. It's in the list of things to play over Christmas. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Well, you play it. Let me know which one of those is better, and I'll try it, and we'll see if it... I don't know if it'll immediately jump onto my top 10, but...
I don't think 1400 would be up Will's alley, but I think 1900 is pretty good. I mean, it's better than 1400 personally, and we'll see if 2400... Yeah. We'll let you know.
Do you feel like... when we played Chronicles of Crime, the original one, I was getting some of that experience fun, like looking in the rooms and figuring out the clues together.
It's much better.
Yeah?
It gets, yeah. The Lucky Duck.
Are you getting the after story part where you're like, I knew it and figured it out?
I don't remember.
Or is it just throughout the game you're doing that?
Yeah, throughout the game you're enjoying the experience.
1900 brings in a little bit of escape room type puzzles into it as well. It actually has some physical components, envelopes you're opening up, and that sort of thing. So I really enjoyed that aspect, which is one of the reasons why it ended up on my top 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, definitely worth checking out. Okay. For sure. Well, cool. So I think before we wrap up the show, we do want to make one last shout out for Tantrum Con.
Yep.
If you have not signed up, gotten your badge, learned more about that, please go check that out. We'd love for you guys to be part of our event coming in February, the last weekend, 24th through 27th, I believe. You can learn more at tantrumcon.com. I actually just added a couple new pieces of information to the site just the other day. We are working on things like our tournament meals, where we're going to be playing games and having food and partying all together for different meal events. Our kids' gaming room is coming together. That's sponsored by Haba, and they are making sure that every kid basically goes away with an armload of games. It's crazy. There's going to be lots of fun happening in there, so bring your whole family. We've got premier badges. We've got just a couple of those left, so if you're interested in walking away with some serious swag and some early hookups to be able to get your spots at tables and things in advance, you can hook yourself up with one of those badges. And I feel like there's at least one other thing. Mini painting. We've got, I think maybe there's some RPG stuff happening this year. That's the Ryan Arena.
Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe,
maybe
not. I don't
know if there's enough room for RPGs this year.
Okay. And then one of the things that I'm just most excited about are the vendors that are going to be there. We've got some of the top league vendor peoples coming to Tantrum Con, which is exciting. I love the fact that we have graduated, and I don't mean anything negative towards anybody that's been there in past years, but a lot of times we've had just like local vendors who are making crochet dice and soap and things. But we've got some like big name vendors that are going to be joining us, publishers who've got some cool games. Definitely was a thing somebody brought to Tantrum Con
Soap on a rope.
There it is, with a meeple inside or something. I don't know. But I'm pumped to be able to have lots of big friends coming in that are going to hang out and have some fun with us. And
some of those same friends we enjoyed last time.
And flip tables.
And the year before that, too.
And the year before that. The friends are the same, for sure. Thank you guys for coming. We have a blast every time. So, yeah, get your badges now and come hang out with us, because it's going to be super fun.
And that is in Charlotte, North Carolina.
That's right. Join us there. Hope you guys had a very Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to y'all. We'll see you in the next one. Bye!
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.